Well, frankly, when we first started working, the men just didn't feel that a woman could do the job. They'd have to lean heavily on them, and they would be carrying the bulk of the load. But it didn't turn out that way, because even during the war, they put any men that did come into the department, they put them to work with us women so they could learn what to do. And they were never asked to do any more than the women were doing. And on the other hand, the women were doing a lot of heavy lifting that sometimes I believe was a little bit more than they should have done. But on the whole, I never heard anybody complain. That is, the women never complained. And it was just simply that they were getting as much money as the men were. And the men just didn't feel that a woman was entitled to all that much money. And if they found a woman who was sort of shy and was afraid to speak up for herself, they weren't above a little harassment. Like this one woman, now I never smoked myself, so I never had occasion to do any of this, but they used to go outside and have a cigarette during working hours. Now this went to the men too. The men did it also. Now this one lead man had this girl. She was just out of high school, and she came in, and he knew she was too shy to speak up. She's scared to death, really. And she'd go outside and take a smoke every once in a while. And one day while she was out there smoking, why, the lead man went out to take a smoke. And they ran into each other. And, of course, he immediately told her she was going to be fired for smoking out in the, during working hours. And it scared her to death. She thought she was going to lose her job. And she came over and told me about it. And I said, if he went out to smoke, then you aren't going to lose your job, because he'd have to tell why he went out. But he was going to let her keep on thinking that. So I just told him, now you just go and tell her that you're just kidding. Because if you report her for smoking, I in turn will report you. Though he evidently did, because she felt a little bit easier. But no, that other than that, I didn't have any problems. Of course, some of them felt that they could ask the girls to go out if one was real young and all that, why they'd want to go out with them. But if they did, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't want to know.
I was going to ask you if the men made passes at the women.
Oh, yes. I had one foreman. He was trying to promote another foreman. Evidently, I liked this man, this other foreman. Thought I must be pretty nice or something, because he wanted a date. And so my foreman come over and asked me if I wouldn't go out with him. And I said, oh, I can't do that. And he said, why can't you? He's looking for a girlfriend. You're not married. Why not? Well, I couldn't. I just couldn't. Well, see, I got to have a better excuse than that. I said, okay. He hasn't got any hair on his chest. And I could have knocked him over with a feather. Well, this foreman he was trying to promote came over. He said, how did you know I didn't have any hair on my chest? And I said, I didn't. I said, I had to have an excuse, and I said, my excuse was that. He was good enough. He said, I like you.
That's great.
But, oh, yes, there was a lot of that one that tried to go with it, get the girls to go out. And didn't make any difference whether they were married or not. I never thought I was all that attractive to any of them. As a matter of fact, I felt more like I was just one of the workers, and I just never felt any romantic feelings towards any of them. There wasn't a one of them that I ever wanted, none of them. I talked to them, laughed with them, listened to their jokes, but other than that, no. However, it didn't go on. And different girls would tell me that different ones wanted to go out with them. Well, they were mostly the foremen that did.
Was there pressure around that?
Yes.
For them to do it?
Oh,
Yes.
They were those that wouldn't go out. They'd try and get rid of them. Try to either shift them out of the department or get them to quit. I had one such foreman. I knew his wife and I liked her. I used to walk into work with her. But I could see no percentage in it. To me, let's say, I wouldn't subject another woman to what I had gone through myself. So I never did. However, there were women who did go out with him. This one woman. They told it. They come back and told it.
What about women getting promoted or getting special treatment?
Well, to a point they did, but they really had to produce because those foremen were rotated, and if they didn't hold up their end, maybe they wouldn't be a favorite of the next foreman. So they really had to produce.
How often did they rotate?
I think it was every 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember now, but they rotated them. Day shift went on graveyard. Graveyard went on swing, and swing went on days. And so that's the way they rotated all during the war.
Were there very many women, both men and women, were there very many workers who had migrated to California, moved to California?
Lots of them, yes, I was already in California, I am a native, and I had been here at least 4 or 5 years, from 1939 to 42, and the rest of them had come out just for that special purpose. Just to work for Douglas. And one lead man said that he came out to go to school only to find out that the school didn't exist, and that's why he came to work for Douglas. Just lots of them. And a lot of them intended to go back to their home states when the war was over. There were lots of them from Oklahoma and Arkansas and Missouri, Texas. That was a lot. And the colored came in, I'm sure they must have come in from Puerto Rico, or they came from the south somewhere. They didn't mix with us. They had to work with us. They talked and they tried to take over, you know, but they were pushy. But they didn't intend to stay.
Now, are you talking about the black workers or
the black? Mm-hmm.
Were there black workers on your crew or Hispanic workers on your crew?
Oh yes. The man had asked if we would work with a black person. It didn't bother me. After all, California was the one state that didn't have that Jim Crow law, and I'd gone to school with him, and I'd seen him in white restaurants, and it just didn't bother me at all that their skin color wasn't something that I looked down on or anything like that. It was acceptable.
Were there problems with other people?
Oh, there was some. Some of the people who had come from back in the Midwest somewhere, who had come from extremely small hamlets, were quite defiant about where they were put and who they were put with and all that. But those people who had lived in larger cities, there was no problem with them. I guess it was quite a major adjustment for the people who had never been around too many people before. More of a cloistered relationship. But mostly they got along pretty good.
And were the minority workers spread out throughout the plant in different departments, or were they more?
It didn't make any difference. The majority were just all over. There was no distinction. California has never made a distinction between Mexican, Japanese, Chinese, Italian, Yugoslav, any of them. I went to school with all of them, and this is just one place where it's acceptable. I guess they'll answer it. They'll answer it.
Were there men as well as women, minority men?
Oh, yes. Yes. I had this one colored woman working with me for quite a while. And there was another one that she worked on the etch tank a lot. But she'd come over and she'd eat with us and everything. She was very nice, real nice. They were, all of them were nice, really. You know, if you talk to them, they talk to you. And we just didn't make that racial distinction. We had a colored girl that worked on the wingskin machine, and she told us all of her personal problems and everything. She was only the one among all the rest of us were, well, white and Spanish, and well, you have it. I wouldn't know what some of them were, but there were minorities among us. And she was real nice, real attractive.
What was it like being an older woman in that? I mean, you were, a lot of the women that came in were much younger than you.
They treated me just like I was one of them. I wasn't treated one bit different. Once in a while, some of the, those that were closer to my age would mention that I was quite ancient, but those younger ones didn't make any distinction. They'd come over and talk to me just like I was their sister or No distinction, whatever.
Were there very many other women who were close to your age?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, some of them were even older. I mean, one woman, we were standing in line to clock out one night, and she complained of being so tired. And I said, well, maybe you need some vitamins. She says, when you get to be my age, honey, you'll be tired too. And it so happened she was in her 70s.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So, you see, there was really, like they said, if they're still warm, bring them in. There were old men out there, too. Not only women, but old men. And it had a physical effect on them. Because one man was a neighbor of mine. And I guess he'd had a kind of a stroke after he had been made a lead man. The pressures were too much for his age. And he got so he couldn't use his hands. And he said he guess he's just going to have to quit because he just couldn't take it anymore. But he tried. And he was real game trying. So age had no bearing on the job. And after the war, we had the older ones, too. After the war, we had one man who had worked in a munition plant in Missouri. And he kept talking about how the munitions material had stained his hands and his hair, and his wife had died, and so he came out here to be with his children, some of them. He had 13. And he was in his 70s, and another one didn't have any children, and he had been a, he had done more work, but he was from Scotland, and he was hard to understand. He had such a blur, but he was married to a woman half his age, and he kept working until he was 72. No, there was no age limit during the war, and even afterwards. And Douglas has never been one to hire just all whites or all Spanish, and they hired everyone.
What were the safety features like? What was there a lot of emphasis placed on safety?
Oh yes. Yes, I put in a safety suggestion and I got paid off for that. When electricians were doing any work in the department, they had electric cords struck all over, and they had that plug on the machine where they could plug in. So they didn't have, that's it. That was my suggestion. They put in a plug on the machine so that they could plug in and there would be no wires strung over the floor to trip on. And the machines all had guards, you know, the cutting machines, and all, they had guards on them. And they tried to see that when we were using the machines, we would have it on a safety so that it couldn't start welding by itself. Which sometimes they did. You wouldn't be near the machine, but another machine would start them welding, and that could be dangerous if the person were watching, because the two electrodes come together with a high pressure and hold while they weld. Oh yes, they had every precautionary measure available for safety, and they also had these safety people going around and checking to see that they were operable.
Were you ever injured on the job?
Oh, yes. Minor little things that were my fault, probably, more than mechanically or anything, but this one, the base shift had left an arm, which is solid copper, heavy. And it was attached to the machine to hold the electrodes. And they had left it standing up and on a board. And I had just walked past on the board, and it fell over onto my leg. And I knew it was pretty heavy, and if it fell on my foot, it would break my foot. But I yanked my foot and leg out of the way and got out of the way as fast as I could, but it scraped all the skin off from the knee down to my arch.
How was that taken care of then?
Right there in the dispensary. Mm-hmm. They took me to the dispensary in an ambulance, and they dressed it, and then for months afterwards, I went down every day and had treatment on my leg. Oh yes, it was well taken care of. No expense to me.
Were very many people around you injured?
Well, one woman had her tip of her finger taken off because she put her hand into the testing machine to straighten a piece of the material right as it was closing. She had that taken off. Then there was a man who had a piece of metal fly in his eye when he was grinding because he didn't have his safety glasses on. It was their fault. But it was all taken care of through Douglas. And innumerable times, the saws, and they'd take the safety guard off the saws, and the band would break, and they'd be injured with that revolving saw. But mostly it was the person's negligence themselves. It wasn't a part of the company, mostly.
Do you remember if there were any special services that Douglas had for employees, like credit unions and stores and things like that?
Oh yes, they had a store where we could buy anything, and your salary was taken into consideration as to how much you could charge, taken out of your paycheck every week. And I had an account at the credit union, and it paid interest. I borrow money to buy things with, and then they'd take it out of my account. And then I would leave it that way. When I had enough money, I'd pay it off. And then I would keep on letting them take that much a month out of my paycheck so that it would build up an account. I think I had, I saved around $500. things were cheaper there than we could get them anywhere else, if that was what we wanted.
Did you use the store a lot?
Not too much. Not too much. Mostly I needed things for my children. And I did my own sewing. They didn't have yardage. I still do all my own sewing. So, no, I didn't choose it, but lots of the employees did. And then they had the restaurant where we could go in, and it used to be I used to get my breakfast there because there just wasn't time enough from the time I got up until I'd have to be going, starting to work. And then I'd have to wait from the time I got there until the start of the shift. So I would eat in their restaurant. And always the group of us would go to the restaurant. And during the war, it was in a kind of a tent-like affair, and just picnic tables. But they kept it clean, and the food was good.
Was it cafeteria style?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. And it still was cafeteria style after the war, too. And then they did bring in lunch wagons, too. And if you didn't want a whole meal, maybe you wanted some of the stuff that they had. And they had good food. It wasn't just junk food. So, they had the restaurant type, and then they had the Bible classes, too. We could go to eat our lunch while we listened to a Bible lesson. Yeah.
Did they have many kinds of programs like that?
Well, during, yeah, they had orchestra that would come in, and different ones could get up and sing, you know. They thought they had any kind of voice. Some of them did, some of them didn't. And they'd have little programs that they put on during the lunch break. The break between lunch and between start time and lunch was only 5 minutes during the war, and then it went to 10 minutes after the war. But they put on the programs during the lunch period.
What about recreational kinds
of things?
They
had dances, too. Uh-huh. Sometimes they'd have the orchestra would play for us to dance. And
during lunch, is this?
Yes, uh-huh. Well, that was the only break we had. And then they also had a school where we could go learn blueprint reading, and which I attended that, too. And then they had, after the war, they had travel tours. They go to Las Vegas, Reno, and they had tours where you could go other places, where you could even pick up your plane ticket to go anywhere you wanted to go. Mm-hmm.
How many women were on your crew? How many women were on your crew? Did I ask that?
During the war?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. 4, 6, 8, 10. There must have been about 40 of us. Maybe 50.
Out of how many altogether? How many
with all
workers on your crew then?
Well,
how many women as opposed to how many men did you work with?
Well, when we started, I would say it was about half and half.